You're listening to the ANA Podcast Network, powered by Audacy, a leading multi-platform audio content and entertainment company. Listen on the Audacy app.
For the ANA Champions of Growth Podcast, I'm Matthew Schwartz. Marketers eager to improve their leadership skills face a growing number of challenges. They have to be C-suite conversant. They have to spike the top and bottom lines. And they have to communicate effectively across the organization. Sally Percy, business journalist and author of 21st Century Business Icons, The Leaders Who Are Changing Our World, says it's crucial that aspiring marketing leaders listen more closely to people at all levels of the firm and practice empathy. However, Percy stresses that the most important trait shared among global business leaders these days is vision. Having vision enables leaders to articulate what they want to achieve and why, which makes it easier to get employees on board. And in such a fluid and unforgiving business environment, marketing leaders need all the acolytes they can get. Percy joins me now to talk about how marketers create a sharper path to leadership. Sally, thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Sally, despite the best intentions among some CMOs and marketers to be leaders, it seems like they're fighting an uphill battle, as many are often tasked with being the chief everything officer, frankly, with the results often being more churn among CMOs, declining CMO tenure, and some major brands getting rid of the CMO role altogether, Starbucks just being the latest. Is this a vicious cycle in the marketplace when it comes to CMOs and marketers?
Being a leader is an uphill battle for a marketer or for anyone actually who's in a senior position at the moment. One of the challenges people face is that a lot of us become managers and we've never had proper leadership or management skills or training given to us. So what happens is we suddenly are thrust into these situations where we have a lot of responsibility, maybe have a lot of people reporting into us. And it's really hard to kind of operate in that kind of context when we're actually often progressing our career on the basis of our technical skills. It's not just CMOs who face this kind of challenge. People in other functions of the organization face it as well.
Empathy, one fix here to be an effective leader or to be understanding for people who aspire to be leaders.
Research by EY Consulting in the US has found that 86% of employees believe that empathetic leadership boosts morale. And 87% of employees say empathy is essential to fostering an inclusive environment. And we know how important inclusivity is these days. For marketers in particular, the important thing about empathy is it's not just something that enables you to connect with your team empathy. If you actually work in any kind of communications environment, really you need to be an empathetic person. I'm a copywriter, I work in communications, and I'm always thinking of who's on the receiving end whenever I write anything. What will the person on the other side be thinking when they read what I've written? In marketing, actually, you need to be empathetic kind of on those two fronts. Empathetic as a leader, and then empathetic because it's actually part of your job to be empathetic.
I wonder if marketers also have to be quasi-therapists to be effective leaders in this day and age. Champion Health's research of 4,000 employees, which you quoted in a recent column of yours, found that 53% of workers are feeling down, depressed, or hopeless, while roughly 38% are experiencing negative stress in the workplace. So is paying more attention to nurturing your team getting to be a bigger asset in the leadership portfolio?
There's a greater expectation today that leaders will nurture their teams. Probably well-being has always been an issue, but just in the past, we never used to survey people quite as much as we do now. There's these endless workplace surveys where everybody's talking about how sort of stressed and depressed they're feeling. And people feel more open about sort of talking about these things. The challenge for a marketing leader is that they aren't actually trained therapists. So I think it's quite a lot to expect of them really to be therapists to their team. And there's some issues there. Obviously, one, they might not be that good at it. And two, it blurs a few boundaries. Kind of a bit of a balance there that it's important to nurture your team. But I don't think you should be doing that to the detriment of your own well-being and or ever feeling that you're actually being someone's therapist. I think if it gets to that point, there might need to be some bigger conversations to be had.
You cite the 70-20-10 rule. Can you explain that and how do marketers make the most of the equation?
The 70-20-10 rule in communication is, so it's the idea of 70% of what you say is through your body language, 20% is through your tone of voice, and 10% is through the actual word you use. The challenge for marketing leaders, and actually for all leaders today, is that in a world where we do so much remote working, and so many of us are dialing in on conference calls, it could be a lot harder to pick up on people's body language over a video call than it is in person. It's even harder, obviously, sometimes people have their cameras switched off. So, you know, then it's really difficult to try and pick up a body language. So if you're then taking the body language out of the equation, then you're reduced to the 20 and the 10. So you literally got 70% of what you would normally use to communicate with. You're reduced down to 30%, which is your tone of voice and your words. I don't know the entire answer for this for marketers. I think what you have to be aware of is when you are on a screen, how you come across. And actually, it surprises me often, of course, how few people smile, actually. A lot of the time, I don't know, it might be different in America. Maybe everyone's just more miserable in Europe. But a lot of the time, people don't even smile online, I think, because they feel a bit thrown by being on screen, whereas if they were in with you in person.
We experienced that stateside as well in terms of Zoom meetings being somewhat dour. So having said that, is there a way that a marketer who aspires to more leadership, what can he or she do to sort of break that, to loosen things up a little bit? Because Zoom meetings are not going away.
No, they're not going away. Have a smile practice before you join in. Being British, I always start with a chat about the weather and a bit of a discussion about that. I know it doesn't necessarily make anyone smile, British weather being what it is.
But in terms of leaders doing more to break the ice, we're here to discuss something serious, but we could break the ice with something in a lighter vein.
Yeah, like if something funny happened to you that morning or something, you know, this is what my kids said at breakfast, or my dog did something funny or whatever it is. If basically the marketing person isn't able to get everyone smiling, then there really is no hope.
And you sort of touched on this earlier, Sally, but in terms of being an effective leader, how much is attributable to being able to truly and meaningfully listen? How is that changing? How can marketers leverage the ability to listen?
With listening, it's a bit like empathy. It's very popular as a skill these days. It's actually really difficult to be a good listener, in fact, because it requires a lot of concentration. The first thing about being a good listener is you really have to focus on what the other person is saying. And actually, fine, take notes aids with listening. But obviously, you can't do that in every situation because you might look a bit weird. So fundamentally, it's paying attention to what the other person says. To show you paid attention, you can repeat some of what they've said back to them. Like you just said to me, we'd already touched on listening. So you can repeat what they've said back to them. You can ask a follow-up question, which is obviously what you've done here today as well. And digging deeper into what they're actually saying and being very focused on that other person and not on what you need to say next.
Sally, as we head into a break, you have two accelerating trends converging now in the marketing sphere. Millennials getting into leadership roles and Gen Zers entering the workplace in droves. Both generations are pretty much digital natives. How do marketers born of the analog generation demonstrate leadership to digital generations?
The good news here is being a great user of digital tools is not what makes you a good leader. So that's quite encouraging. I don't think any of us want to have ChatGPT as our boss. So essentially, obviously, leadership is a human endeavor. Basically, what upcoming generations really want is they actually want their leaders to be more human. That's why you and I are sitting here talking about empathy and listening and not how to make the best use out of Slack. Leadership in the future is going to be about more human, probably less digital. But having said that, obviously, to be a good leader these days, you've got to understand technology. You've got to understand the capabilities of digital tools, even if you yourself can't use them all the time. And so there's an opportunity, I think, here for leaders of the analog generation to listen to digital natives, ask questions, listen to them, just as we've been discussing, and see how they can find out how to use digital tools effectively in the workplace. But something I think is also really important is not to abuse digital tools. And this relates to what we just talked about the lack of empathy, really, is that we're in an always-on culture. And actually, it's really easy to text and to message and to send emails to people at all kinds of times. You can actually be abusing those digital tools. And also not to use digital tools in a really transactional way. And I don't know if you notice this, but being someone from the analog generation as well myself, I sometimes get emails sort of from younger people and they're really blunt in their emails. In fact, in my own children, really blunt in their messages to me, but maybe that's a parent-child thing. People from the analog generation, I think we sort of put a little bit more sort of, I don't know what you'd call it, furnishings on our digital transactions so that, again, so the other person at the end of it, it's not just as though a computer's just issued a message to us.
Well, that sort of plays directly into my next question, which is, are we entering the age of managing intergenerational teams? Is that a new frontier for marketing leadership?
Intergenerational teams, well, they're nothing new, because obviously there's been intergenerational teams that have existed in the workplace for centuries. I think it's becoming more of an issue these days due to people living longer lives. So, you know, you can easily have four different generations in the workplace. That is kind of very challenging for leaders to have to manage the expectations of different generations. And one of the things about Generation X, which is our generation, is nobody ever really asked us what we thought about the workplace or what our ambitions were for life or anything like that. We were just
And they never will, because we've been sandwiched between the boomers and the millennials.
Exactly. They never do. You rarely read any research into what we think or what we want. And so So I think we're quite a stoic generation because of that. We just get on with things. And so for us, when we see younger generations and we're told they expect feedback or they expect jobs with purpose or they expect this or they expect that, that can be quite difficult for us to understand, because we were just like, well, you just got, this is work. You just got to get on with it. But I suppose as an analog leader is actually, or Generation X leader, although that is our default way of thinking, the reality is, if we're going to bring people with us on the journey, we actually have to accept that their expectations are different from ours. They're not necessarily just going to get on with it. And we have to get over that. And I think that's quite a challenge. And that's a big thing in terms of managing intergenerational teams. I think the different expectations different generations have.
Stay with us. There's more to come. And now a word from our sponsor, TVB, the trade association representing local broadcast TV. TVB celebrates 4 years of TVB Next Women this year. Underwritten by Wide Orbit and supported by nearly 20 partners, Next Women identifies, prepares, and advocates for women aspiring to leadership roles in the local TV industry. Since 2020, TVB's Next Women has grown to more than 2,000 members and produced dozens of programs, webinars, and workshops focusing on skill building, career advice, and a pathway to leadership. Women working in TV station, advertiser, agency, measurement, media tech, and production roles credit Next Women with assisting and empowering their career journey. To help celebrate Women's History Month in March, TVB launched We Stand on Their Shoulders, a campaign that honors the women who have blazed a trail in local broadcast TV. To learn more about TVB's Next Women and the We Stand on Their Shoulders campaign, visit tvb.org and follow the TVB Next Women LinkedIn page. Shout out the inspirational women in your life on social media with hashtag We Stand on Their Shoulders and tag TVB. We are back with Sally Percy. Sally, in your book, 21st Century Business Icons, you profile several international leaders. What are some of the characteristics they share when it comes to effective leadership practices? And what can marketers learn from them?
In my book, I wrote about leaders from lots of different markets. But actually, it was surprising how much they had in common. And they had quite a few common traits. So these included a strong work ethic, self-discipline, sense of purpose, a passion for what they do, a willingness to take risks, and the ability to take long-term decisions. But for me, I think the trait that probably stood out among everything else was their vision. All the leaders in my book had a really strong idea of what they wanted to achieve, why they wanted to achieve it. And that was what was enabling them to take other people with them on their business journeys. There's one thing that marketers could probably take away from my book. It's the importance of having a really compelling vision, because when you're in a creative industry, people really need to buy into you and what you're trying to achieve.
And what are the building blocks? What is the stick-to-itiveness for that vision when you consider that marketers are being tasked with multiple disciplines that seem to be just growing exponentially?
Often, perhaps, is the case of connecting with your customers. Because one of the things that came through in my book was that it's all about trying to solve problems for customers. I mean, essentially, that's something else the business leaders all had in common. They're all trying to solve problems. So we're trying to think, how can I make life better for people? And these people then became their customers. Some of them have been sort of incredibly successful. I mean, whenever you think about Amazon, I would find it possible to imagine my life without being able to order things from Amazon now. So that's an example of a company that had a very, very customer-focused vision. So I suppose as a marketer, you know, when you've got all this kind of noise going on inside your organization, and then that noise is probably also going on inside your head, it's kind of maybe taking a step back sometimes and just thinking about your customer. What am I doing for them? Which problems am I going to solve for them? And how am I going to solve it? And I think probably if you keep that as your North Star, that might help you to cut through the noise.
Do you think the Zoomification of meetings and more people now working from home on a regular basis does more harm than good when it comes to marketing leadership and the ability to cultivate leadership? How do marketers who want to boost their leadership skills navigate the new workplace?
A key thing actually is to try and arrange face-to-face meetings with your team so that it's not everything isn't always online. And regular check-ins with people, kind of quite important as well. Important to kind of lead by example with this one too, as a marketing leader. You've got to be present yourself virtually in some ways, which isn't necessarily meaning having back-to-back meetings that drain everybody's energy and nobody gets anything done. Because online meetings are, in fact, if you're on them for a long time, they're more tiring than face-to-face meetings. The answer to making sure your team is productive is definitely not putting them in constant online meetings. That's the reverse of what you should be doing. But what you could think about is when you hold your meetings, so making sure maybe holding your meetings at a time when people, they've had a chance to do some concentrated work for the day already, and they're actually happy to perhaps, you know, maybe after lunch or jump on a call. And also how long they are. You can have a very productive online meeting in half an hour if you're very focused about it. So it's really just having a good agenda, being focused, and actually respecting the cutoff time as well. Because if you allow it to sort of drag on, which is perhaps easy to do, then everyone's just secretly a bit resentful about it. So just respecting the length of the meeting.
Sally, I wanted to refer to another one of your Forbes.com columns on leadership and how to handle disputes. You quote David Little, CEO and chief consultant at mediation provider, the TCM Group, who describes leaders' actions, interactions, and reactions as the, quote, air they breathe out, which others then breathe in. And through the air, they set the tone for behavior. Now, can you demystify that a little bit? Sounds a little new agey to me. At the same time, seems like it would have a practical application.
Well, it does sound quite new agey, I agree. But I think what David is trying to say there actually is that leadership is a mirror, really. And what you put out there is what you will get coming back to you. So if you're diligent and you're hardworking and you're sensitive to the needs of the other people in your team, then what you will probably get back is hard work and diligence and people being sensitive to your needs. But if you're lazy and you cut corners and you neglect the needs of your team, what you'll end up with is bad performance and no one really interested in trying to do anything for you. And I think that's actually kind of quite a powerful lesson, really, isn't it? There's that phrase, you know, what goes around comes around in life. And that just applies as much to leadership as does really to any other context.
In terms of leaving our listeners with two or three of the most practical ways that they can enhance their leadership skills over the long term, and that these are skills that they can sustain and cultivate and improve over time. In this sort of topsy-turvy world we're living in, what's the baseline right now for effective marketing leadership?
One of the things that comes up quite often when I interview senior leaders, and something that comes up quite often is self-reflection, actually. That people will sit back after a meeting, a project, a conversation with somebody, and they will think, what went well about that? What didn't go well? What can I do differently that might make things go better next time? Are there any lessons from that I need to learn and apply? What challenges came up? For all leaders, really, and marketing leaders as well, is to reflect on your interactions during the course of the day and just think about how you might be able to do it differently the next day.
Is it also a sense of vulnerability among leaders to perhaps show that you can be vulnerable?
When you ask questions, you do show vulnerability. So actually, as a leader, you know, you've got to be prepared to be vulnerable. And then people generally respect you for that. If you ask a question, you can bet there's loads of other people wanting to know the answer to it. So usually, you know, you're not alone, really, whenever you answer that question. There's just everyone else isn't really brave enough to ask. Practice asking the right questions is a good thing. And then the other thing I would just say is taking an interest in the world around you. So in my book, 21st Century Business Icons, the people I profiled in that, I mean, they really had a global mindset, and also they were very sort of curious people, generally speaking. In the world we live in today, those of us who live in the West look at the world through what I call the lens of Western privilege, and we don't always really understand in different markets, you know, how people perceive things. And I think especially if you're a marketer for a major international organization, you might be managing teams in different markets across different time zones. You know, there's going to be different sensitivities, there's going to be different challenges in those markets. So it's really important to have an understanding of not just what's going on in your own country and your own sector, but actually what's going on in other sectors in other countries. And to be sensitive to things like, for example, in international calls, some people in some cultures feel very uncomfortable about speaking up in front of their manager, for example. Having that, I think, sensitivity to what's going on in the world is really important too.
And we'll have to leave it there. Sally Percy, author of 21st Century Business Icons. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
My pleasure. To learn more about 21st Century Business Icons, the leaders who are changing our world, go to www.koganpage.com/21icons. Be sure to tune in next time when I'll be joined by Lou Aversano, CMO of the Cigna Group, to talk about the performance marketing versus branding debate that's heating up throughout the B2B field. If you would like to recommend a guest or topic for a future episode, please email me at mschwartz@ana.net. And be sure to subscribe to Champions of Growth wherever you listen to podcasts. That's all for now. I'm Matthew Schwartz. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the ANA Podcast Network, powered by Odyssey.